Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the Auburn Road drifts the sound of merriment and cheer. Old Father Yulemustide, bring me velvet green, bring me embers and deep ruby mouthfuls. Ring in the pintmas and the pubbly eve, and open the door to the moon underwater. Yuletidemus to thee, Robin. Yuletidemus indeed.
Yuletidemus to thee, John. You might have noticed that I've sort of made a Christmas jingle there. Well, I mean, I just put the sleigh bell on the regular jingle, but I think that's all that's needed, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's no small feat, no. To be honest with you, no, mate. No. But it's the end of the year, and so many different things happen in the moon underwater at the end of the year.
Yes.
A remarkable shifting appears on the alleys and the streets. Snow dusts every corner of the correct realm, because the correct realm is all your dreams come true, and one of my main dreams is snow everywhere. Not inside, unless a small amount was blown in a gust by someone opening the door. That's absolutely fine. But I just want snow everywhere, please.
Right.
And a little pussycat walking through the snow on its sort of high paws. Mm.
But I definitely, you do want that thing of that kind of someone being very, what's that phrase? Hail fellow well met. What's that phrase? It's the Ghost of Christmas.
I don't know, you'd have to look it up in
my mind. Isn't it what the hail fellow well met? It's a showing excessive familiarity or friendliness. I think I have a feeling I might be wrong. Ghost of Christmas Present says it. But I have that image of someone coming into a pub, lovely warm pub, and the drift of snow kind of coming in as you open the door and being very, hail fellow well met about it all.
Yeah, and I imagine an awful lot of sort of scarves and overcoats at this time of year.
Yeah.
Scarves and overs.
Do you have any favourite kind of pubbly traditions at this time of year?
Well, do you know what? My folks don't drink, so Christmas for me is quite a barren period.
Fucking hell. Well, it's not fun for lots of people. I mean, that's the thing that's the worst thing about Christmas, is that it does feel like everyone's having a great time. And if for whatever reason you're not having a great time, it kind of feels worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, and Christmas is a mixed bag,
yeah.
Really. In the other realm, not in the correct realm. Obviously, I would dearly love to spend Christmas in the moon underwater. That's not possible. But yeah, so not it's Christmas bizarrely for me, it's never really been a boozy time of year, apart from when you and me used to go to our friend Sam's house. I remember drinking like half a pint of Teacher's whiskey at Sam's on just sort of like a Christmas Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, often at Sam's. Fond memories of New Year's Eve going to Thornbury, maybe once or twice. Walking down the road.
I mean, Maybe nunce.
What's that mean?
I'm not sure I ever went to Thornbury on New Year's Eve. Maybe once, maybe twice.
Well, we had a New Year's Eve party at your house in 1999. Do you remember that?
The Millennium Eve. Yeah, I did. I got so excited I jumped in the air and hit my head on the top of the door frame.
There is a photo of that. I think we were DJing. Did we have decks? Why did we have decks? How did we have decks?
Yeah.
We're 18.
I don't know. I think maybe you brought them. I don't own any decks.
No.
Who knows? Who knows?
But I think we started drinking very early then. But we were young. But Christmas drinking, the Christmas pub traditions for me, because I've got a birthday very close to Christmas. So I have spent so many of my birthdays in the Hare on the Hill in Bristol. And that is...
And the Hillgrove.
And the Hillgrove. And sometimes the Highbury Vaults. Getting the snug in the Highbury Vaults around Christmas, nothing better. But so that's what it means to me in pubs.
So I don't really have any sort of family drinking traditions around this time of year to draw on. But what would have been your, you know, you wake up on Christmas Day, is it Bucks Fizz? What is it for you?
It's a Bucks Fizz in the morning, and then it's sort of bottles of lager throughout the day. And, you know, and then, you know, fizz at dinner and then fall asleep for maybe 3 or 4 hours and wake up to watch a film.
Really?
Yeah.
So I think I'm going back to my mum's on Christmas Eve. I probably won't drink on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Isn't that kind of mad? Or great.
It's not mad.
And good.
I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, people expect some kind of Richard Curtis style Christmas. Life isn't like that. Life isn't Richard Curtis, is it? It's more like Adam Curtis.
Yeah, or Curtis Strange, the golfer.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a terrible message for us on our Christmas episode.
But to be fair, this is going out post-Christmas, so maybe it kind of aligns itself with that kind of post-Christmas blues. We're going out in the gusset of the year.
Guys, life is first boredom, then fear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You seem to have found us in a bit of a brown study here at the Moon Underwater. I don't know how that's happened.
What the fuck does that mean?
I think it's because...
A brown study? What
does
that
mean? Yeah,
that
means depressed.
Really? It sounds like you've made a dirty protest.
Now, a brown study is a sort of Victorian phrase for being a bit down in the dumps. A brown study.
I mean, black dog makes sense, doesn't it? Churchill's black dog. Brown study just sounds like... Oh, dear. I've never heard that phrase.
Well, anyway, we need Christmas cheer, Robin. Look, with the whole of the Moon Underwater is bedecked with wreaths. There's about 1,000 wreaths in here.
Yeah. There's more baubles than you could throw another bauble at. There are just a lot of baubles. There's too many baubles.
Yeah, there are far too many. It's more like a ball pool. But the problem is you can't just dive into them because they all sort of shatter and cut you.
And also they're not perfectly round, are they? They've got that little hook on them. So, you know, you might scratch yourself on that hook if you should jump into a bauble pool in the nude.
But that won't happen because the Moon Underwater is all your dreams come true, even a bauble pool. And all of the wreaths have got different themes. One over there is remorse. One over there is expectations.
Mm.
Brackets general. One over there is sport. This is a sport wreath. Yeah, it's got a hockey stick, a rugby ball and a cricket ball. And another cricket ball on it because the person who made it really likes cricket. There's one that's themed around Britpop. It's just Damon Albarn holding a big, what was that, Gibson guitar with a Union Jack on it that Oasis used. One of them.
Yeah.
Tony Blair shaking hands with all of the band Gene. And that's
he hasn't quite got his Brit facts right, this wreath maker, has he? It's a wreath of Britpop with Tony Blair meeting Martin Rossiter from Gene.
Yes, that's what it is. Outside number 10 Downing Street, which
outside.
Has an, which has has a Noel Gallagher door knocker on it, number 10.
Wow.
One of them's themed around emancipation. Another one's themed around sand. And another one is themed, yeah, sand in all its glory. Beaches, glass, and timers, old timers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Old timers like us.
Old timers like us. And one of them's themed on hairdressing. One is themed on tooth decay because it's an important message for Christmas, all those chocks around. So we've really just got so many wreaths here.
Yeah. Do you like Christmas?
It's hard to say. Life circumstances over the past few years have made Christmas pretty tricky, so it's nice to be here in the correct realm. Christmas is as Christmas does, as
yeah,
they say.
So.
As a child, it was just absolutely just sort of, I loved it to an unbearable amount,
yeah.
I think. Getting my copy of the top 10 of everything in the Guinness Book of Records and then reading up on the stats.
Well, those are the best ones, weren't they? I mean, our friend Johnny White, who's a brilliant comedian and musician, he does a bit about how much he loved Christmas when he was a kid, to the point where he'd get upset when it was ending and he'd start crying to his mum, please stop it ending. Yeah.
He's also got a tattoo of a Christmas tree on his arm.
He does, yeah.
He still loves Christmas.
Dude loves Christmas.
No, I do like Christmas. There was a Christmas sort of like an evening late shopping thing near where I live, and a brass band played. And I have to say, I find the sound of a brass band playing Once in Royal David City incredibly moving.
It is.
I think it's the best Christmas song, actually, Once in Royal David City. It's so plaintive and mournful.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh God!
My grandma used to sing along to hymns and you know, songs of praise. She had a lovely way of, she'd kind of go like this.
Sort of like a vibrato hum.
Yeah, tons of vibrato. Yeah, often quite wildly out. You know, it's great though.
It's quite nice, almost like a theremin.
Yeah, it was a bit like a theremin. Oh, grandma.
Well, speaking of theremins,
yes.
It's now time for us to read out some correspondence, which is for patrons only. Listening to this on the regular feed, you need to get your behind to moonunderpod.com and subscribe on Patreon, because we're going to read out some special Patreon content here. But if you decide not to do that, that's fine. That's your choice. You're just now going to skip straight ahead to the main meat of this Christmas roast. But Patreons, it's time for some correspondence.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Adam Hurry, host of Football Clichés, a truly unique podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Twice a week, my guests and I tear apart the language of football, the words, the phrases, the mannerisms, and the weird habits of everyone involved in the game. From the shoes that football pundits are legally required to wear, to the didn't play for Sam Allardyce's Bolton but really should have done 11, Football Clichés explores all the tiny things that you didn't realise you cared about, but believe me, you do.
Well, welcome back to all our non-patrons. You missed out on some smashing chat there, which in the end did get quite sad.
Yes.
But we had some lovely correspondence, some lovely Christmas memories, some lovely chat about Christmas and loneliness. But now we are heading into a deep dive to reflect on the year thence, before the year hence.
What a year it's been.
What a year it's been. The moon underwater opened our audio doors, even though, as I said, the moon underwater has been around for a billion years, on the 12th of April with our first episode was with Nish Kumar, and we've had 37 guests, five of whom were live, and the most popular choice thus far has been your friend and mine, Guinness, and I think deserved. But what we're going to do now is reflect on some of our favourite choices, some moments we want to highlight from the year thence. And in order to make sure this truly is festive, get me out of this brown study, as previously discussed. Robin, what am I drinking?
It's black and white. Oh, no, it's yellow. Oh, John, you shouldn't have. John has got a Varnix, a bottle of Advocar. He's got a little can of Schweppes lemonade. He hast got some ice. Hast thou got a lime? No, you hate lime, don't you?
I hate lime, yeah. What glass?
That look...
pint glass.
A pint glass, fuck me. Yeah. That is, oh God, I'm getting a bottle next for my birthday. I bloody love a snowball.
I went into Tesco's today to get Guinness, pale ale and cider, and I walked past and they were selling this bottle of Advocar, £10.
Nice. I love that. Like, what is Varnix? What company is Varnix? Like, do they make anything else?
It's probably owned by, I don't know, Lockheed.
Tesla.
So,
Elon Musk.
The trick, with a, the trick with a snowball, folks, is you have to sort of pre-mix a bit of it. Otherwise, so what I'm doing is a bit like I'm making a cup of soup.
My mouth
you
is
mix
watering.
You mix it into a paste. Oh my God. Oh God. It is such a great flavour.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a pint of it because it always goes downhill after the first one.
Fucking pint it. I mean, it's the kind of fizziness. God. It's the fizziness. Lemonade has to go in last, I think, doesn't it? You got to top it up with lemonade now.
No, because then all of the Advocar stays at the bottom. So I make a paste. Yeah. Sort of 50-50 Advocar, and then top it up once you've stirred it.
Mm.
Oh, my God. So here we go. To you, Robin, and to me, to all our listeners and to the moon underwater, here goes a pint of a snowball.
Cheers. Not going to drink the whole thing, are you? Oh, my God.
Fuck me.
It's like a kind of milkshake for people whose lives have gone a bit wrong.
Do you remember Coke floats?
Yeah.
It tastes a bit like a vanilla Coke float with lemonade.
Good.
Anyway, folks, we've taken a choice each.
Yeah.
And we're going to play some clips from our favourite eps. And my first choice, to reflect Guinness, which has been chosen 11 times. is the discussion we had with Jodie Kidd, who it was such... I was listening back to the episode. She was so giving. Mm. And she was so positive and just so engaged. And it was so nice to chat to her. And also, it's always a treat when someone actually either owns a pub or has worked in a pub or whose parents ran a pub. And Jodie had such great insight into the running of a pub because she runs her own.
Basically, this ticked boxes for you because it was like you're talking about Guinness and the ins and outs of keeping Guinness good. But then in that episode as well, you're talking a lot about tax and you're just a big fan of
yeah,
tax discussions.
Yeah, it was a dream come true.
Yeah, she was brilliant though. It was a great episode.
So we thank Jodie, and how many talents. What a talented person. But she really does explain what makes a good pint of Guinness. So here you go.
There's something really beautiful about a pint of Guinness and how hearty it is and how just rich and lovely and creamy. And it just makes me happy. But in the summer, I drink much more Moretti. And then in the winter, I'm a much more bigger fan of that lovely, stouty, thicker. Nom, 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 nom. Yeah. I want one now. I can't wait for the pub to open. I'm like missing a draft so much.
But finally, I can go to someone who's got the answers for the questions I have about Guinness.
Yeah.
So what is it in the actual process of keeping and maintaining Guinness that makes a good pint? Because it varies so much more than other... Well, apart from lager, which is kind of the same everywhere, pretty much. But there's something about a bad pint of Guinness with a slightly brown head with bubbles in it. And you think, how can you get that so wrong when next door gets it so right?
Yeah, it's all about the pipes.
Talk to me about pipes.
Well, the pipes have got to be really properly cleaned. So we're open, well, we will be open eventually, kind of like a Wednesday to a Sunday. And when we get to the end of the Sunday, take everything off the barrels and we flush all the chemicals through to really clean those pipes.
Is it that bright purple stuff that goes through?
Yeah, oh God, I mean, you don't want to know, but it does the job. And then we spend ages flushing loads of water out and then we clean it. But, you know, we have had some members of staff that have kind of neglected that kind of side. And the difference is extraordinary, even if you're pouring, you know, an Amstel or something. And then a really important thing is, I know this is not Guinness, but is the glass. And so a lot of issues we've had is the detergent that you use on cleaning the glasses or something like that, where it kind of coats the little imprint in the bottom.
Is it the type of glass as well? Because I love an Estrella, but often those Estrella glasses, it just comes out really flat and the barman go, sorry, it's just the glasses. And they pour it in another glass.
Yeah, it's because they don't have that imprinting on the bottom. So it's all of that little pattern on the bottom of a pint glass, which causes all the bubbles. But if you use a detergent that's too thick or a glass, I think even Moretti glass might not have one, then it stops all of that and it goes really flat. So it's all about keeping everything really clean, maintenance, and really taking pride of what you're doing and what you're serving. Because there's so, I mean, it's such blinking long hours that the staff are on their feet. And that, you know, at the end of the night, you're absolutely exhausted. And then you've got to clean all the pint glasses, you've got to clean all the pipes, you've got to do all of this, that you can get super tired when you're on a 17 hour day, that, you know, you can cut corners. But that then on the other side will be that one customer that will come in and go, what is this? You know, it's kind of like, so it's all about maintenance and having high levels of cleanliness and pride.
There you go. That was Jodie Kidd with our first selection from some of the choices we've had this year. That was my selection. Robin, what have you gone for?
Well, for draft, I've gone for a kind of controversial one, which is I've gone for Alistair Green's choice of Carling. But let me explain. It's not because I'm a fan of Carling per se, but I just really liked Alistair Green's idea of a kind of utilitarian pub. And you said this great thing about the customer is not always right. The pub is always right. And I do really like that yeah. kind of idea. I do like going to the kinds of pubs that Alistair Green describes in his episode. And it is kind of summed up by the fact that maybe one of the only choices you'll get is Carling. But there is a brilliant pub in Haggerston, the Duke of Wellington, which I'm sure Alistair Green would be a huge fan of. But it's just, it's kind of hard to come by in London, particularly just a pub that is really, it's really lovely, but it just hasn't changed. And it's not trying to do anything for anyone. It's like you fit into the pub. The pub doesn't try to fit, you know, to appeal to you. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I think like so all of his choices were very basic.
Yeah.
And we waived a few of our sort of usual rules about brands and stuff. So he went for house red and house white.
Yeah.
But I do get that. Like, you want a pub that knows what it is. It's not trying to impress anyone. And I think that's the, you know, when you walk into a Green King pub and it is that sort of very ubiquitous, very sort of homogenized, sort of fake white chalk on a board.
Yeah.
And you just think you're trying to be a pub that everyone likes. And what you end up with is just sort of a pub that no one is. You're never anyone's favourite pub. I would rather be in a pub that didn't have sort of exactly what I wanted to drink. If it was a pub that was like, this is what we do. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. And that was basically the vibe of Alistair's choices.
Yeah, I mean, his pub was called the Marquis of Take It or Leave It, wasn't it? Or the Marquis of Take It or Leave It.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The Marquis of Take It or Leave It.
That's brilliant. Wasn't it going to be called, like, if you don't like it, fuck off or something? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
It's so, very funny.
To celebrate Alistair Green's very unique episode, here's his choice of Carling.
For me, it's the happy medium between something... I mean, I hate Foster's. I absolutely hate it. And I don't know why. It's just, like, sugary and awful... And then if you don't want a premium 5% lager, you know, especially if it's in the middle of the day, Carling to me is quite a happy medium. I went for a period when I was younger, I was quite happy drinking Carling. Yeah.
I might go back to it because I feel like it might be my, what if it's my drink and I just had a bad experience?
Well, it is the most popular beer in the UK.
Yeah,
I've got a feeling it's more...
What percentage is it?
It's about I'm going to guess between 3 and 4.
No, it can't be that weak.
So hang on. Carling is weaker than advertised. Right. Carling advertises its lager at 4% alcohol by volume, but it's been brewed at 3.7% since 2012. That's insane. Oh, okay. So I need to say just to cover my back. This is from a BBC News article, and this is a court ruling that said the alcohol content of Carling, one of the most popular lagers in the UK, is weaker than advertised. It has emerged. Interesting.
I mean, that sounds illegal, isn't it?
Yeah.
What the problem is with a lot of gastropubs now, it's you feel like it's designed for you. There's a few nice ones, like, you know, the Southampton Arms in Kentish Town, or one of those people who do it well, where it's quite sparse, but it's very nice, and they're serving pork pies and pickled eggs and all that, but they're doing it with a view to... Okay, I think this is how they used to do it. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It's maybe slightly ironic, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's genuine. But the point being, it's like, okay, we don't know how to be real, or just, you don't need to do that. I mean, I get it. It's a nice gimmick. It's a nice pub. I've got no complaints. But the key is if you go into a pub or you're outside a pub looking at it and you go, okay, good. They haven't bothered doing it. They haven't bothered catering to me. This is how what they want to do. I'm a guest here, and I'm happy to, you know, I'm happy in that role. Do you know what I mean? I don't need to be pandered to in that way.
So in your fantasy pub, the motto would be, not the customer is always right, the pub is always right.
Yeah.
So you walk into a pub, what have they got on draft that would make you think, oh, fuck this, let's try somewhere else? What's your nightmare draft?
I probably haven't got one. First of all, there's not really a pub I'd walk out of. I don't think there'd be one where I go... It wouldn't be what's on the draft. It would be... I'd walk in and go, ah, no. I've misread this completely. You know, it's either some loud techno music playing, or it's too noisy, or there's too many people eating. I don't like that, you know, or you know what I mean? Or there will be something like that. It probably wouldn't, there probably isn't anything on draft that would make me go, right, I'm leaving here. I don't think. There's nothing I'd particularly have a particular aversion to.
What if they only serve 2/3 of a pint of sour beers?
Normally I'd have one and go, if it's the worst pub in the world and I hate it, it makes me want to die, I'll have one.
Yeah, we'll just have one. Yeah.
Just test it out, because you can't, I haven't judged it properly yet. I'll just have one.
There you go, Alistair Green there. We move on to our choice of bottles. What was our favourite guest bottle selection? Well, one of the most commented on episodes was our discussion with Adrian Chiles. And thank you to everyone who got in touch to say how much they enjoyed our discussion about moderation, about limiting your drinking, about trying to have nights off and to choose your drinks accordingly. Because I know that struck a chord with a lot of people, and I wanted to highlight that in our selection, because Adrian talked really, really candidly and very eloquently about his attempt to control his drinking, to drink less. So I've selected as my bottle choice, Adrian Chiles' Sainsbury's Czech Low Alcohol Lager. I would urge everyone listening to this to check out Drinkers Like Me, that documentary, because it's important to stress that here at the Moon Underwater, we want people to drink nice drinks, but we want them to do so in a healthy and manageable way. So I wondered what effect making that program and learning about quite how much you were drinking, what effect did that have on your relationship with the pub?
Well, apart from having to talk about it all the time, which is one aspect of that, because people can't get into their heads this idea of moderation. It's got, if you come out and say you've got a problem, inverted commas, with alcohol, it is the widely held assumption that the only way to deal with it is to stop completely. So at no time in the programme did I say I was going to stop. I said I'm going to moderate. But, you know, the amount of time I had the pint in my hand, they go, oh, you're back on it then. You know, people come up to me, just hold my arm and say, good luck with your battle.
Really?
Good luck with your struggle. Yeah. And they mean it nicely. So, wow. You know, there's that aspect of it. I said, look, I'm just drinking less. And they go, yeah, yeah, whatever. You know, we know. You know, it's just, it's, you know, I've got past getting annoyed about it. But I think, look, the whole point of it was that people like me and drinkers like you probably as well, you know, we might have convinced ourselves we haven't got a serious problem because we're not waking up on park benches or drinking Pernod in the morning or whatever. We're not in that category, therefore we're all right, because there's this binary sort of disease model of so-called alcoholism where, you know, you've either got it or you haven't. So you're one of those drinkers who drinks all day, every day, and is, you know, and it shows. And if you're not that, then you're fine. And I just thought, well, I'm not fine. I don't feel less physically. I thought there is some degree of dependence here. There was a woman, we got together at Christmas, some school friends, and my friend's wife, who I've known since we were teenagers too. I told her I was making the programme. I said, so what if a doctor told you if you couldn't have another drink, you had to stop drinking? And she said, I'd absolutely shit myself. I just couldn't do it. I need that drink in the evening. And I thought, God, I feel a bit like that too. You know, that's the moment I thought, well, no, I'm not having that. You know, if it feels essential to you, not enjoyable, not nice, you know, not something, you know, gives you a lot of fun, but something that is essential to your very way of life. And I think that is probably the point you need to have a, you know, think about where you are with your relationship with alcohol. But in terms of my relationship with it, it made it more precious, because it was about working out which drinks I really wanted. You know, and I would say, probably, you know, and I'd be frowned upon for saying it, but I'd say, you know, what drinks do I need do I want or enjoy? Now, most therapists wouldn't like to hear you say the word need, but whatever, I'll leave it in. And I worked out that if you lined up all the drinks I've drunk in my life since I was 15, it'd be getting on for 4 miles long, right, if you lined them up next to each other. And I thought, of all those drinks, I mean, that's a lot to put through your system, and it can't be good for you, all that lot. I just thought, well, that's one thing. But the real tragedy is that of all those, that 4 miles worth of drink, I don't think it's more than a third that I actually needed or wanted or enjoyed. The other two thirds were just drinking for the sake of drinking, drinking out of habit, you know, just drinking, you know, you're out, so you might as well drink. It's Friday night, so you might as well drink. You know, was I really enjoying them? So it was just, it was more a case of just, you know, look, I like this. I do like drinking. And when I'm old and knackered, I want to be able to, you know, struggle off down the pub and look into the middle distance and have a sup on my pint. You know, I don't want to lose that. So, you know, let's cherish it, be more mindful about it, more special, and just work out which drinks I actually, you know, I actually want.
There he was, the man himself, Adrian Childs, with a little hint at the discussion we had. So do go back and check out that episode with Adrian if you haven't already heard it. He was a wonderful guest here on The Moon Underwater. But Robin, what have you gone for?
Well, two words, French stubbies. Lisa Holdsworth chose for her bottled item was French stubbies. And it just, I don't know, that it's the nostalgic thing. I like it when people come on the show and it's like, they're talking not just about their favourite drinks, but their favourite memories. That's what it's all about, I think. And French stubbies, it's such an association with holidays, summer, you know. They're just brilliant, aren't they? Little, like 3% little bottles. I love a French stubby.
I think the first beer I ever tasted was at Scout Camp. A French stubby that one of the Scout leaders let me have with a sort of a nod and a wink.
And they were like 2% or something, some of them. Yeah.
And when Lisa says that she'd like to choose French stubbies or just sort of those stubby beers, you just both, it took me and Robin by surprise so much, and we both sort of went, oh, it's such a great choice.
I know.
Also, brilliant. You never, ever, ever see them in a pub.
No. And I see them on a campsite.
That's why there's. Yeah, you see them on a campsite, or you see them in a sort of a community centre at a hastily improvised Amdram production or something.
Yeah.
So we think that was such a great choice from Lisa Holdsworth, and here's what she had to say.
So you know when you go on holiday in France and you get the big slab of the little tiny bottles?
Oh my God. Oh, it's like you can see inside my mind.
That would be fantastic. I've been on many a Eurocamp holiday listening to terrible music and drinking those little bottles. So,
beer d'or.
Beer deluxe.
Yeah.
The king of those, because we used to drink, Robin and I used to live together in Bristol, and we used to drink those stubbies. And they're always like 3.2% or 3.4%. But so we tried all of the different supermarket ones. And weirdly, you now struggle to find them in supermarkets. It used to be a real, so there was a whole shelf which was just those big boxes of stubbies. But Beer des Moulins. Moulins, which is the Sainsbury's one. Oh my God.
Just the word Moulins. And I can, it takes me back.
It's another one of those you can only drink it in summer. After the August bank holiday, pretty much it starts losing its appeal, and then if you get in September, forget it.
If you get really, it's staggering how quickly one can go down if you're not paying attention. There's not much in them. What is it, like 3:30?
Yeah, and it's the sound, the clink of, we must find somewhere, we must find a bottle bank today while we're out doing our touristing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, my dad went camping and had, I think he must have gone in front, no, he was in Wales, obviously, and they took all their beer doors to the recycling. And this guy, this Welsh guy, goes, every picture tells a story.
So, I'm just looking up, because usually at this point I would press our guest at The Moon Underwater for a specific brand. But in this case, there's an exception rightly made, because it's the very nature of the fact it's a generic French name. You're not entirely sure if it came from France. Yeah. But I'm looking at the Beer des Moulins on Untappd, which is one of the main sort of alcohol websites rating-wise, and I'm disappointed to see it's only got a 2.56 star rating. But you can't rate Memories out of 5.
No, you can't rate Memories.
There you go, French Stubbies from Lisa Holdsworth. So, folks, we are going to end part one of our look back across some of our favourite choices from throughout the year at the Moon Underwater. And join us back in part two, where we are going to be finding out what jukebox selection we liked the most, the wild card, what thing we most appreciated being barred from the pub, what name we liked, and a special musical treat to play us out. Just a reminder that you can support the Moon Underwater at moonunderpod.com or patreon.com/moonunderpod, and you can get in touch at john@moonunderpod.com. See you in part two.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.